With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Happy Trash Tuesday, everybody. And so I know there's things to trash after week one of the NFL season, after week two of the college football season. I mean, let's face it. Michigan fans should be trashing that entire offense. Florida State fans should be trashing their entire coaching staff. There's plenty of trashings to go around this college football season already. In Tennessee, what could be worse than 0-2? And Jeremy Pruitt talking about the movie Titanic. Plenty of trash is going around. And in the NFL, oh, I'm squaring you guys up. The Atlanta Falcons puke on you. What a disgraceful, gutless performance in week number one with aspirations of playoffs. One of the most talented teams in the NFL. You, my friends, deserve to be trashed.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
The New York Jets, all this pomp and circumstance all offseason long. The free agent signings, the new head coach, the new order, the new everything. Year number two of Sam Darnold. You give your fans that in the home opener? Come on.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Hey, Cleveland Browns, did you forget that you were supposed to be the best team in the division? The division champs for the first time in 30 years, the sexy, trendy pick of making the Super Bowl. I mean, give me a break. Freddie Kitchens, that offensive line, that defense, that team overall gave its wonderful fan base absolutely nothing besides the opening drive.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Trash them all. I'm sure there are trashes that you want to bring to the table this morning. So hit me up, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS for said trashes. Let's also talk about last night's game. Number one of the doubleheader. When Deshaun Watson goes down the field, two beautiful throws. Gets hit by the oncoming rush on the second one, still threads the needle to Kenny Stills, touchdown Texans, and with the extra point, after the miss and then the flag, looked like they had a win. On the road, difficult place to play, signature victory for Deshaun Watson, signature victory for the Texans organization, and then the defense crumpled. Now, a lot of that had to do with how good, how masterful, how precise Drew Brees is. A lot of that had to do with, simply put, Drew Brees has total command of the chessboard in a situation like that. But in some ways, yes, the Saints are lucky to come out of that with a victory. That was not the smoothest effort from New Orleans last night. And I think in today's NFL, where so few guys play in the preseason, week one, more than ever before, truly is a win is a win is a win. And last night it was a 14-3 lead of the half by the Texans. I never thought I'd see the first half of a game of an opener where Breeze and Sean Payton just could not get anything going offensively. But they really were stymied throughout the entire first half and finally got it cooking in the third quarter. But you wondered, is this too little too late? Because you've already built yourself nearly a two-score deficit, a two-touchdown deficit. The Saints are lucky to come out with a victory because they needed the miracle of that final drive, and a lot of that simply is the brilliance of Drew Brees, but they are lucky to get out with a win. That was not their best effort. And the New Orleans Saints, I have every intention of believing, we will see in January as a division winner and home playoff games. I think they are one of the top two teams in the NFC, and we will see that over the course of this season. They have shown the resiliency to come back from a brutal, devastating playoff loss last year after what happened to the Minneapolis Miracle, and last night after the devastation of the NFC Championship game in which they were robbed, let's face it, they came back with a victory. Breeze can do that for a team. That's a good roster, well-balanced. Kamara, a couple of great runs last night. They should be fine. Last night is one of those, a win is a win is a win is a win in week one because almost nobody looks all that good. Of course, except the Patriots without Antonio Brown. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Kevin tweets, I'm trashing the NFL referees who apparently can't handle the pressure in the Superdome either. And at least the lost time at the end of the first half didn't wind up costing the game. Hashtag trash them. I go into now every season expecting the referees to be more aggravating than the year before. There are more things to review than ever. There seemingly is more confusion than ever. There is more of a nervousness, I believe, from the officials than ever because everything is reviewed, because we have such great technology to slow everything down and see it from a million different angles. As I kind of joked about earlier in the morning, I found myself watching a bunch of old NFL films clips from the 60s, 70s, and 80s last night. I was just in that full-on football mode, doubleheader, opening weekend, Monday night. So during commercial breaks, I was just watching a whole bunch of stuff, and it just struck me that there were so many plays I was watching that now my brain is trained to question, oh, did the ball really cross the goal line there? Oh, did he really have 2 feet in bounds there? Oh, did he have possession? But back then, it wasn't a question. The officials just, if they thought that they got it right, they just moved on, and nobody could really question it. Didn't mean there weren't mistakes. There certainly were controversial officiating decisions or non-calls that led to instant replay in the 80s. But there was a time where camera work wasn't that great. Instant replays weren't that great. You couldn't zoom it in and close it in and see it from a million different angles. And so because of that, you know, call was the call. There's never really going to be enough evidence to overturn it, nor were that even part of the lexicon. And now our brains are so focused on every questionable play. Well, was it? Well, what is that? Well, that should be, well, you got to challenge that. We got to see about that. And it means that the officials have more control than ever before over the gameplay. Because everything is questioned and they are refereeing it like everything is going to be questioned. Imagine trying to do your job. And I'm not giving the refs a pass here because, I mean, they have blown some really awful calls, namely the pass interference on Nickell Robey-Coleman last year in the NFC Championship game. But imagine trying to do your job and your boss... like these refs, your boss is looking over your shoulder, waiting for you to make a mistake, and then they're going to review it. Every time it happens. Oh, going to go to the review. Let's go to Bob at accounting. Did you get that decimal point right? Oh, sorry, Bob says no. And you would work scared and nervous, and they are reffing scared and nervous. A lot of people want to trash the down and distance box last night in the Monday night game where they have that new score baseline, the graphic, and on the right side was down and distance, and it kept flashing yellow early in the game, and everybody thought that it was a flag. It was a penalty. Instead, it was just some genius in graphics who thought, yeah, you know what? Let's just make down and distance yellow flashing every down, which is what we have been trained to know penalties are. So mid-game, ESPN changed mid-game and scrapped it and then made it a neutral color, black. On the one hand, I want to give ESPN credit for recognizing a blunder and changing it midstream, mid-course, and just going like, this is wrong. Let's make the right call here. Let's make it right. That's hard to do. You know, broadcasts can be clunky. They can be set a certain way. Computer graphics packages, all these types of things. I'm sure there is a million layers of clearance that go over the new score title box from ESPN. You don't just do that haphazardly. So to change on the fly, all right, good for them. On the other hand, this makes me worry a little bit because, number one, this had to get cleared from multiple bosses. Again, it's not just some random graphics guy that's like, oh, you know what? This year we're going to do yellow on down and distance. No, that's a restructured box that multiple bosses had to say, yeah, let's do it yellow. And nobody said, you know, that kind of looks like a penalty on every play. And that's going to be disconcerting. Number two, they reacted to social media. I mean, if Twitter doesn't exist, they don't change that. Now, it might get written up today from a couple of columnists, sports media columnists. There might be some type of sports talk radio outcry or blogging about it. But without Twitter, specifically Twitter, ESPN does not change that last night. And that means that these broadcasts and announcing teams, broadcasters themselves, companies are so worried, like these refs, about outcry that they are willing to, in the heat of the moment, okay, all right, change it. This is bad. Everybody hates it. Which means that there are decision makers that just simply go on social media metrics and social media outrage and social media outcry. I mean, you might see this. You might see TV shows or radio shows dictated by how many followers somebody has. Put them on. They got followers. Where it's like, well, that doesn't necessarily equate to great content or great radio hosts or great television hosts. Just because a lot of people are upset by our graphic doesn't necessarily mean we have to question everything that we have just thought about, because we assume that we have thought about it, right? We have thought this through. They made the right decision ultimately because it was stupid for it to be yellow flashing on down and distance, like 2nd and 11. Definitely don't need a flashing yellow sign on 2nd and 11. But, wow, one half of outcry from Twitter. And immediately ESPN was like, all right, change everything. This was wrong. Sorry. And we were going to issue a statement about it.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Well, that's probably good for you, Hurricane Jen. When we come back here on the show, more of your trashes on a Trash Tuesday. Also, Pro Football Hall of Fame place kicker Morton Anderson is going to join us in studio. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Catastrophic? Something? You said cats and lismic. Whatever word that is, it's not happening. Can you just say the word real quick before we toast to the
thing? Cataclysmic.
Cataclysmic.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What is it again? What's the word? 20 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And remember that the DA show is available so many different ways to listen. In today's day and age, it's not just about your radio affiliate anymore, luckily. Because if your local radio affiliate doesn't carry us, there's so many other ways you can listen. If you are listening on the CBS Sports Radio affiliate across our wonderful network, that's awesome. Thanks so much. Also, SiriusXM Channel 206. SiriusXM Channel 206 Satellite Radio. Also, on your phone, the radio.com app, Apple Music, or the CBS Sports app is always a great place to listen to us. And you can watch us even better. Why not watch? At watchda.com. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. TJ tweets, I'm trashing Vegas odds makers for dropping my Raiders from 50-1 to 100-1 odds after losing Antonio Brown. Only Raider fans and Mraz have shown us any love entering the season. To quote the great Han Solo, never tell me the odds.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
TJ, you know I love you. I do love you. But this Raiders team ain't winning the Super Bowl. If this Raiders team gets to the playoffs, it's an amazing accomplishment. Amazing. Amazing. Derek Carr looked good last night. They got a win last night in the division last night. That's all great stuff. But we can't be talking about the Raiders and the Super Bowl. Super Bowl? It's like Jim Moore talking playoffs. Playoffs? AZ in Wisco tweets, I'm trashing the Wisconsin Hills Middle School bus schedule that forces my 12-year-old 7th grade twin to get up to the bus stop by 6:38 a.m. What child needs to wake up before 6 a.m. to go to school? Get them out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
I've always struggled with this. To me, when I was growing up, our high school started first, then middle school an hour later, then elementary school an hour after that. And so the high schoolers were always up the earliest, and then it obviously went down from there. And it was always like, I was never that tired when I was in second grade, but I was always tired when I was in high school. And I always felt like maybe we should flip that schedule. Like the kids, the young kids get up earliest because they can get up whenever. You know, you get up like when you're 8 years old, you can get up whenever. And when you're 18 years old, you want that extra 2 hours of sleep.
But you don't want to do that. You're supposed to be preparing these young adults for adulthood. Mm. And you're training them to wake up earlier so when they hit the workforce, it's not a shock.
Do you feel that you were properly trained?
I wasn't properly trained in anything, but I get the mindset.
Okay. Kevin tweets, I want to trash the NFL referees who apparently can't handle the pressure of the Superdome. At least the lost time at the end of the first half. My God, what a disaster.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Sean tweets, I want to trash Mraz for this horrible take on people like himself. Who's he fooling? We all know he has his Danny Dimes costume ready, 4XL Spanx and jersey and tight pants, ready for the next Giants home game. Take a lap.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
That's because you took a shot at Raiders fans last night for showing up in costumes.
Well, yeah, and the Saints fans. Enough's enough with the big whistle on the head, acting like clowns. Take a lap.
Drenzito tweets, I'm trashing the deep burper. The burper who burps from basically their lower intestines. Broadcasting that liquid sound of their innards vibrating. I want to barf every time I hear a deep burp.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
That was really very descriptive and really very disgusting. Hans tweets, I'm trashing my old internet provider. We installed new online services, but the old provider won't cancel due to the mother-in-law's name being on the bill, but my wife's name and number is on the account. Now my mom-in-law has to cancel for us. WTF, trash them.
Stinky debris.
Taylor tweets, I'm trashing Cowboys fans. One game and Cowboys fans are already talking Super Bowl. I'm not hating, but everyone needs to slow down a few ticks. It's a long season. A lot can happen. Guess we should put the Titans to the Super Bowl too? Just saying.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Well, you're not into crazy, over-the-top reactions after four quarters of football where nobody plays in the preseason. Brady tweets, I'm trashing the Texans defense. I mean, how do you watch your quarterback take you down the field to win a big time game on the road and then give it away in 53 seconds?
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
If you're a Texans fan, that was just having your face shoved in the mud. You just watched Deshaun Watson go right down the field, two beautiful plays, put you up, nearly give you the win, and then your defense just gags it. Absolutely gags it. Dixieland Dan tweets, I'm trashing joggers and cyclists at 5 a.m. riding and running down the middle of the road in all black. Look, fool, I haven't had enough coffee yet. I'm still asleep. One wrong move and I'll play catapult with you. Hashtag get off the road.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
The all black thing's a bad situation there. Maybe they're Saints fans. It's a bad situation. If you're going to jog or cycle, please wear reflective clothing. Rob tweets, I want to trash Mraz per his suggestion. taking over a can of jam to your new neighbor, and they decline it.
Stinky debris.
That's impossible.
Would anybody decline a can of jam?
No, I just got another one this weekend.
Really?
I did. The jam's coming out. Word's getting out. I want jam.
Whoa.
I'm going to have to make a lot of toast this weekend.
What flavor jam?
This one, I believe, was an apricot.
Mm.
So
that's my least favorite kind of jam.
But at least it's different.
I'm a big strawberry, raspberry, blueberry jam. I'm not a huge grape guy, but I'll do a grape jam. But apricot, I'm not in on that.
Okay, but I'm not going to insult anybody.
No, it's different. Insult anybody, no.
No, you need to have the jam. It's a canned jam.
Can-O-Jam. When we come back here on the show, Morton Anderson's going to join us here. Hall of Fame place kicker in NFL history. One of the greats. DA, CBS Sports Radio. He'll be in studio.
The only rules to join the mothership? You need to feel good and be doing well.
There's a bar in far Bombay. I will do just fine. He's the number one fan of the man they call Huge Freeze.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us on a fine Tuesday morning. There are so many ways you can listen to the show. Listen to us at radio.com. Or on your phone at the CBS Sports app, or SiriusXM Channel 206, or watch us at watchda.com, or listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio affiliate. Our next guest just handed me a piece of jewelry that's about as heavy as my car. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is a multi-time All-Pro and Pro Bowler. He's a member of the 1980s All-Decade Team, the 1990s All-Decade Team as well, a member of the Saints Ring of Honor. He is Morton Anderson, and I am holding his Hall of Fame ring. This thing is a beast. Morton, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I figured you'd like to see that.
I like this very much. A little bling bling.
On Tuesday morning, not bad.
How often do you wear it?
Not often. Just if I'm out and I'm doing
some... Just for radio appearances, TV appearances.
You know, radio, TV. Yeah, just when I put a suit on, I like to wear it. I think it's a beautiful ring, actually. For some of these Super Bowl rings I've seen are just so gaudy and big. And
yeah.
You know, you have to wear it on three fingers, but...
Yeah, you can't really wear some of the new Super Bowl rings.
No, they're too big. They're just too big. But this is a...
That's the right size.
And it's what it symbolizes, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's a pretty exclusive club, DA.
Well, so it's only you and Jan Stenerud, correct?
Right now.
As place kickers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Stenerud got in, gosh, in the 70s, I think. Maybe early 80s?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the year was, but what a legendary player he was for the Chiefs, obviously.
Yeah.
And you spent some time there. So,
yeah. And you did as well.
I did for a couple of years. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Great fans.
You played in some of the most difficult stadiums for road teams to play in. You played in Minnesota. You played in Kansas City. You played in Atlanta. You played in the New Orleans Superdome. Those are all tough places for road teams to play. What was the toughest home field advantage that you actually played for?
I think the Saints, because of the noise level. I mean, we guys would come in there and they just didn't understand how loud it could be in there. I know for the Vikings that was loud too, but New Orleans was just a different level of loud. Those guys got going a couple of days early. You know, that's like a religion in New Orleans.
Yeah,
the Saints. What a game last night.
I know. They had a party last night at the end.
Oh, what a game. That state is probably they're still rolling down there. I mean, that's what makes the NFL the best. You just don't know. I mean, it really was good. If you were not glued to the television the last 2 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
Wow. What a finish.
Watch Drew Brees do that.
Thing, man. And then Lutz is clutch, you know?
Yeah.
58 to demand a 58-yarder, and he delivered with room to spare.
You were on the Saints team that finally broke the long streak of losing seasons in New Orleans. I think it was the 87 season, right, where you guys finally were winners. You went to the playoffs, and boy, that was a party. The entire year was a party. That was a really special season for you guys. What was it like to be in the middle of that?
Well, I remember we... actually, with Bum on New Year's Eve, we didn't go to the playoffs, but we finally had a like an 8-8 season.
Yeah.
I know it sounds kind of, you know, mediocre.
But it had been almost 20 years.
They went nuts on that deal. So when we finally made the playoffs, it, you know, it was like a Pandora's box was opened up and guys, you know, the fans just really started, not that they weren't engaged before, but now they were part of a winning tradition, you know.
Yeah.
And we were very good for a long time. We had the Dome Patrol. The four linebackers were amazing.
Awesome.
Great defense, ball control. We kicked a lot of field goals.
Yeah.
We field goaled you to death. 12-9, you know, 9-6. It wasn't necessarily really sexy, D.A., but it was, but we got it, you know, we won with defense.
Yeah.
And we ran the ball pretty well. We didn't turn it over a lot. We didn't make a lot of mistakes. And we had very few penalties. I think we were the least penalized team under Moore for many years. And we won more games in 4 or 5 years than anybody in the league.
Yeah.
And then we got to the playoffs, and we were so tired, and we got our butts waxed, unfortunately. Yeah. But it was fun.
Now, you were part of the generation that ushered in soccer-style kicking into the NFL. Morton Anderson joins us here on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer. At that time, in the mid and early 80s, there were still a lot of head-on kickers.
Yeah.
And guys like Mark Moseley.
Moseley, yeah.
Straight on, kicking on.
Yeah.
Now, we would never, ever, ever see another head-on kicker ever
No, again. It's illegal. You're not allowed to do it. So that, eliminates that.
Do you feel a little validation here watching the soccer-style kicker have a boom?
You know, I was fine with having all of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. And Mark Moseley was he's the only kicker that was MVP of the league.
Right.
With the Redskins. So that speaks volumes of his performance. But it just is a more superior way to kick the football because, you know, bigger surface for the ball to strike on the foot and power, and there's just so many accuracy. There's a lot of advantages to coming in from the side a little bit on it.
You kicked one of the most famous field goals in NFL history, sending the Dirty Bird Falcons to the 1998 Super Bowl at the Metrodome in Minnesota against a 15-1 Vikings team. All seemed lost for you guys.
Yeah.
And then Gary misses the field goal.
Who knows, opens
up the door for you guys. He had not missed a field goal all season. He misses that one.
Yeah.
And then you kick the field goal to send them to the Super Bowl. What was that moment like?
It was an incredible moment. We just wanted to hang around. And we're 14-2, and we had to go on the road as an underdog. But when Gary missed, we had a sense on our sideline that, man, we're still down 7. We can tie it. We get into overtime. We'll win this thing. And that's exactly what happened. I remember going onto the field to win the game. It was loud. It was so loud that the turf was vibrating.
Really?
I could feel it up through my body, through my shoes and up through my body. And when I kicked it, I knew right away, this is over with. So I started running, and then 50 guys jumped me. It's the only time 50 guys jumping me, all right? That's all I'm going to say. And it was incredible.
That was a fun team, too, that 98 Falcons team.
Oh, man. It was
Dan Reeves doing the Dirty Bird.
And Dan had quadruple bypass surgery
a
couple of weeks earlier. And so I was happy to see him do the Dirty Bird. But what a great time. I'm sitting on the bus. My agent calls me and says, hey, that was a good day, Morton. I go, what are you talking about? Yeah. Did you watch the game? He goes, yeah, what's the game? You forgot, didn't you? I go, what? He said, when we did your contract about 4 years ago, we had a clause that if you won the game in the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl and or $300,000.
No way!
So I was like, big smile on my face, D.A.
Yeah, baby. Wow. Not only were you
300
going to
large, man.
Not only were you going to the Super Bowl, you just got a quick $300,000.
Yeah. And the owner came up on Monday and said, yeah, that was worth it. Handed me a check. I loved it.
That was amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
Over the course of your career, you played for so many teams and for such a long time. By the end, was it about the competition? Was it about just continuing to do what you love? Was it about the paycheck? What motivated you to play so long? What was it? It was 20-some-odd years you kicked.
25. I just loved it. I loved it, D.A., and I was out of football in 05. I waited 20 months. I kicked in a public park trying to get back in the league. The phone didn't ring. And I was 77 points away from becoming the all-time leading scorer in the game. That motivated me. That was interesting to me. Not to get the 77 points, but the process and what it was going to take the adversity, because let's face it, there's not a lot of market for a 46-year-old guy in the National Football League. You're gone. So preparing to be great again after a period of time where I was out, that was very interesting to me. And then when I got the opportunity to do it back in 06, and I won the game in a tryout against guys half my age, and I was able to get that record for becoming an all-time leading scorer in the game, that was significant to me. That was very satisfying to be able to go through that 20 months of nothing, of grinding in a public park, of deferring to the little leaguers that needed the field, and then to be able to come back and win it and get it done.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Morton Anderson got kicked out of the park for the Little League?
Yeah.
No
way. Sure did. Had to defer. They needed the field. They rented it.
Oh, my God.
But that's humbling.
I'd say.
That's distasteful. But, it taught me to just really appreciate, if I got it back, to just appreciate the journey, you know, and to go for it and not to leave anything on the table.
Vinatieri's dealing with this right now. He's 46 years old.
Yeah.
He just missed a pair of field goals and an extra point this past weekend. People are blaming him for the loss. What's he going through at 46?
You know, this is a blip on the radar screen for him. His body of work is so large. He's had so much success. He'll be fine. Next week, he might have a game winner for all, and nobody will be talking about his misses yesterday. And he took personal responsibility for it right away and said, it's on me. And that's because Adam is Adam. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame when he retires. So if I'm Adam Vinatieri, I'm not too concerned. I'm disappointed I didn't get it done for my team, but I'm going to move on. I got 15 more opportunities to be great, and he will be great.
It's such a unique club. I mean, Vinatieri's going to get there, but outside of Vinatieri, I don't know if there's going to be another place kicker for a long time. So there's going to be three of you guys, and that's probably it for a really long time. That's a select group to be part of.
It is. And there are other guys that should be considered. Gary Anderson, Eddie Murray, Jason Hansen. On the punter side, I think Sean Landetta and Jeff Fiegels. So there are other guys that should be considered, but I don't have a vote. But it's a fun group. It's a small group.
It's a small group. That's got to be a fun Hall of Fame party to be part of that weekend. And that
it is. Whew. I had 300 people. We stopped at 6 a.m.
Really?
Because we ran out of booze. That's it.
Yeah, I mean.
what can I say, D.A.?
Being from Denmark, you guys know how to put a few back.
Listen, it's one glass of something and water. One glass of something and water. To hydrate, guys. It's be smart. Yeah. Manage your behavior to meet the objective, which is to get to 6 a.m.
And it's at some point 20 drinks and 20 waters. You know, you're hydrated.
Hey, I didn't give you a number. That's your number. That's your number, DA. If that's all you need, that's cool.
Morton Anderson is here on behalf of BetNJ.com, an educational resource for online gambling enthusiasts, where you can find betting guides, how-tos, and great sports betting content. For those in New Jersey and other states around the country that have legalized sports betting, it's a fun football season.
It's a fun football season. I think a couple of things to be mindful of when you want to engage in sports betting and daily fantasy sports is educate yourself, empower yourself to make the experience transparent, fun, entertaining. At the end of the day, it should be entertaining to place a little bit of money on your favorite team or player or play, for that matter. So we're just here to help. Better Collective is somebody who I'm working with as a brand ambassador. And New Jersey is a site that will give you all the tools, educational tools, to make smart decisions. And that's how it should be.
That's BetNJ.com, bet-nj.com. Pro Football Hall of Famer Morton Anderson joining us this morning on the show. This is a lot of fun, man. Thanks so much for doing
great,
it.
Oh, that's great, DA. Thank you, man. Very appreciate cool. you.
You got it. Morton Anderson, our guest this morning here on the show. Let's now get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. We were talking about what makes the wives upset, and it turns out that Mraz made his wife very upset last night. Well, actually this weekend. It is our epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz, is there anything that you could do that Danielle would stab you?
I'm going to say no, only because it felt like Sunday was the closest I ever got to being stabbed.
This past Sunday?
Yeah, my gas was so vile.
Oh.
On following a long day of eating and having Kona Big Waves sure. on Sunday that It was about halftime Steelers-Pats, and I got a loud get the bleep out.
Miranda disgusted.
And near tears from a hormonal pregnant woman.
Near tears.
Yeah, quite frankly, it was...
Sean also showed me there was a picture of similar issues recently, too. He should have been stabbed by now. There's a second layer to that story, something he left behind that she found that he should have been stabbed for.
What'd you leave behind?
I shouldn't have brought it up, but...
And there's a guy that daily stuffs his face with something that's terrible for you?
No, it's fine.
Stained underpants that I left on the bedroom floor.
Oh, my God.
That's my fault. One slipped.
Oh, my God. She sent the picture to me when I got to work and said, I'm not going to do this every day.
And then he showed me, which was really the last thing I need to see. And I've been here for hours already.
And she threw him out. I got mad. I said, put him in a washing machine. They'll clean. She said, there's no coming back from this. And she was angry about it.
The bread is just incredibly good.
So, again, he should have been stabbed by now. So he seems to be in the clear.
Hump.
So your plumbing really has...
No wonder it got backed up. Huh?
It has created so many problems and moments of discomfort and anger and violence in your life.
Exactly. Now you can see why we're investing in a lot of candles in this house. There's a lot of things that have gone wrong. The dumpsters fought back, and my wife is paying the price.
And I want mango habanero.
But Danielle looked at those stained underpants on the floor and said to her, I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life every day.
In other words,
she was staring at the rest of her life.
At the rest of her life, at stained underpants.
With a child growing inside of her.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
The Bourbon Bell was listening, and she texted me, if you left stained underwear around the house, I would stab you.
So there you go.
So we have confirmation that Danielle was on the verge of a violent act because of her.
There's one. We have one.
Rob tweets, I'm trashing the telemarketer scammer posed as a collector for the policeman ball, asking, can I put you down for a $100 donation? No. Go pound sand.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Be careful out there. The streets are hot with scammers. TJ tweets, trash the fat boys dancing on camera at the games. Nobody wants to see that. Hashtag take many laps. Hashtag you ain't clearing it.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
I got to tell you, I like the fat guys that dance. I like the fat guys that dance at games. I'm not thrilled at how many fatties we have in this country. Not thrilled. I don't think it's ideal.
There were some wild hogs at that Saint game too last night. There were a lot of fried catfish.
Wild hogs.
Every time there was a camera shot, I said, woof, what is going on? What was that off season like in New Orleans?
Chubbo.
Well, they were all stress eating since January.
That bad pass interference, and everybody gained 75 pounds. All the season ticket holders are going to have to widen the seats in New Orleans. It was a cow convention.
Look, what do you do when you are robbed of a Super Bowl and the Saints mean everything? You just go to town on hush puppies, on fried catfish, as much gumbo as possible. You're drinking gumbo for breakfast.
There was very little vegetables eaten between the NFC Championship game and opening night. I couldn't believe my eyes. Deodorant sales have to be up in the bayou.
Lonnie tweets, hey, D.A., if Mraz loses this year in picks, can we finally see him eat death by salsa in a piggy suit? Well, this is a good question. Last week, after a 3-0 start, Super Dave went 0-3. He is at 500 now. 0-3. So now 3-3 for Super Dave on college football. Mraz went 2-1 on his NFL picks. We still have not decided what is on the line between you and Super Dave.
I mean, do we have to do death by salsa again? I mean, just how many times are you going to bring out this bag of tricks?
Yeah, I think we have to figure something else out.
Can we be original?
I think death by salsa is more of a March Madness thing. We'll make that the traditional March Madness punishment. We'll figure out something. Christopher tweets, I'm trashing main water lines that break at work that keep you from being able to use the toilet for a second day. There's been a lot of problems around plumbing and toilets today.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
A2 the Pizzy tweets, I'm trashing Mraz. You leave the whistle's name out of your mouth, Chubbo. Hashtag who dat nation.
Splash Brothers, More like the Trash Brothers.
You know, people want to take Saints fans to task for overindulging in this hating on the refs and not being able to let it go. Why should they let it go? They were robbed out of a chance to go to the Super Bowl because the refs were blind and missed an obvious infraction.
It was still overtime.
Okay, but let's face it. If the refs do their job there, the game is over. So this is their first game back since that game. They didn't watch the Super Bowl as a city. That was a city ordinance. Don't watch the Super Bowl. For crying out loud, this is the first game back. They're not allowed to be angry at the officials.
They still partook in Super Bowl foods, clearly.
Well, look, they had every right to stress eat and anger eat and sad eat throughout the offseason. If they're still griping about this call with the whistle and the blind ref outfit this upcoming December, I'm going to say, okay, it's time to let it go. But this is their first game back. Let them have it.
Stupid. Move on. Don't you want the refs to give you calls now?
That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The Doc. Thanks to Connor Green on the Wheels of Steel. Doing a great job filling in for Pete the Body Bilotti, Diaper D'Alien. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com. Pulling levers, pressing buttons, and making that thing sing and hum. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.